Let's get now underway with our broadcast partners, looking at geopolitical activities across the world as Colonel Bob McGinnis out of the Washington, D.C. area. We bring him to these microphones because he has great insight into what is happening. Many, many years of training in the military and then being a broadcaster for a number of years as well and still doing that. And we're so grateful that he is one with us right here on Prophecy Today and gives us information behind the headlines that is essential for us to be able to understand what's happening. Bob, let me start with, and there's going to be a NATO summit meeting in Chicago, and I want to talk about that. But before that, at Camp David, which is the presidential retreat area there in Maryland, there's going to be a G8 meeting. First of all, explain to our listeners what the G8 is, and then tell me what's the significance of this meeting, if there is any.
Well, Jimmy, during the 1970s, the U.S., France, United Kingdom, Germany, Japan, and Italy formed what was called the Group of Six. And it was basically an informal grouping of advanced industrialized economies, and they were meeting together to discuss matters of political and economic significance. And then Canada was added in 76 and Russia in 1997. And, of course, they've also invited on the side the presidents of the European Council and the European Commission. So they are meeting ostensibly to discuss the economic crises that's facing, of course, the European Union and the implication that has for the world economy. As we monitor over the last few days the various markets around the world and news that the Spanish economy is really teetering on falling, and of course the Greek economy has questionably already fallen and may fall out of the Eurozone. So there are a lot of issues that they're confronting, and most of that work will be done on Saturday there at Camp David, which isn't far from where I am.
Now, and talk to you're not going to cover that, are you?
I'm going to cover it, and I'm going to write about it, but I'm not going to go up and try to jostle with the crowds that are standing outside of Camp David.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you write about it. We'll post it on our website, prophecytoday.com. Now, you said that the economic crisis in Europe is going to have a global effect. Talk to me a bit more about that. What type of an effect will it have on the world scene, on the situation, peace and war, etc.?
Well, we have a global economy for the most part. And when the euro takes a beating, it's noted on the Japanese and the Chinese, the Singapore exchanges, clearly on the Indian exchange, and, of course, on Wall Street here. Across the world, when we have these interdependent economies, wobbly as they have become of late, then we're going to take losses just because, most of our investments are diversified in international conglomerates. And, a faltering economy, especially where banks cannot repay their loans that have a piece of a lot of investments in a lot of companies, countries and companies across the world, and then you have an economic crisis that affects everyone.
What about the NATO meeting? It's going to be in Chicago. There's already high security there. I saw a one story coming over the Drudge Report that indeed they had jet fighters over the skies of Chicago. Is this a high security situation, and what's their goal there at the NATO summit?
Well, you have the NATO members, of which there are 28, but then there are a total of 60 heads of state or countries that will be represented. And ostensibly the purpose of this meeting is to hammer out kind of how we're going to take care of Afghanistan and draw down by 2014 and then try to sustain the military there to keep the peace after 2014. And that's going to cost in the order of $4 billion a year, and of course the U.S. doesn't want to be left holding the bag on this and wants these other nations to share some of the responsibility. President Karzai of Afghanistan will be there. He'll meet with President Obama, and then of course Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari will be there, and we've had problems with the PACs for some time, and most recently with regard to access for NATO resupply through Pakistan because it's very expensive to go through Russia in the north. So there are a host of issues that will be addressed, and of course the unpopularity of the Afghan war is feeding some of the dissent that you're seeing on the streets.
What, is not the United States the major driving force behind NATO, both leadership-wise and financially?
Well, we pay 25% of the freight for running the Brussels headquarters. And, of course, we provide the lion's share of the forces. We have just 68,000 Army personnel alone in Afghanistan, and not including the Marines and other forces. We basically are the horsepower behind NATO. Most of the NATO nations have radically downsized their military. Their contributions are minimalist. And all you have to do is look at the operation in Libya to find out that not only did we pay for the most, but we had all the intel, all the refueling, a lot of the command and control were all American resources. So NATO's a shell except for us.
Yeah, and what about how effective has NATO been there, say, for example, in the battlefield in Afghanistan, and in addition to that, with the situation in Pakistan?
The NATO forces other than U.S. that are there typically do a reasonably good job. If you're talking about Canadians that are leaving, the Germans typically don't fight. The French do fight, but they're in the wrong place. The Brits do a reasonably good job. They've been in Helmand province predominantly. But they've also been over in Kandahar as well. So, you know, they are probably our best allies in terms of fighting. But the others, they may send an observer, but they're not engaged in the fight, and their contribution is minimal.
Will there be any focus on the situation there in Syria as well? I know NATO not really involved, but they're standing on the sideline looking in.
Well, certainly it's right next door to Turkey, which is a member of NATO, and they will be represented in Chicago. So that will be something probably for behind-the-scenes discussions. You know, clearly NATO, like any alliance organization, is concerned about its periphery, and given the actions that are going on in Syria, they're liable to have sidebars that are significant. And, of course, we've heard about some developments, especially with the U.S. Now with the GCC nations beginning to arm Syrian rebels, and now that Israel, of course, has come online saying they expect Assad to fall, but they don't know when, it's in the minds of everybody.
Yeah, it'll be on the agenda some way, either up front or in the back room somewhere. Well, what about the Iranians? They've called, one Iranian leader, at least, has called for an Islamic awakening to destroy Israel. Iran's not going to back off of their desire to rid the Middle East of the Jewish state, are they?
No, well, it's part of their rhetoric, and they constantly are spouting it, whether it's Ali Khomeini or Ahmadinejad or one of the other minions that they have there. That's their topic, that's their agenda, and they're not going to back down from it because it feeds their domestic audience and of course, bolsters their reputation, even in the Sunni world, to be anti-Israel.
Let me ask you about another Middle East situation. United States leading a major military exercise and not including Israel. They have Jordan, everybody almost except Syria involved in this exercise. Any concern that the Israelis must have over this?
Well, the Israelis know that that's how we play the game. We will exercise with them individually, and then we'll exercise with the Arabs separately. That's how we've done it. That's how we address these sensitivities. You know, clearly, if Israel were to participate, you wouldn't get any of the Arab nations to participate, just because a few of them still are in a state of war with Israel. So, you know, that's the geopolitics of what we have to face. Yet we have a vested interest, the U.S., in working with these Arab countries because of common enemies such as Iran, and trying to make sure that we're interoperable with these militaries. And, of course, keep in mind, we sell much of their armaments and a lot of their sophisticated equipment to them. So, You know, this is a salesman's job, it's an alliance-building job, and it's also trying to keep a strong upper lip when we're facing down the likes of those in Tehran.
Colonel Bob McGinnis in Washington, D.C. area. He's the man that looks at geopolitical activities for us. So grateful for the contribution that he makes to each and every one of us. He's dropping on these conversations. I learn every single time I have a conversation with Bob. Bob, thank you so very much. Have a great weekend. We'll be looking forward next week to your report on the G8 and other geopolitical activities. Thank you much.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.